Yaakov fights against Sarah Shal Esav in this week's Parsha. Parsha's Vayeshlach. And as part of the fight, Yaakov gets injured. Myself was Simon Labanum. We're living in a time where Klal Yisrael is taking a beating on many fronts. And yet you have to look at the end of the story. Sometimes you look at Yaakov's pain, and you see Yaakov suffering, you see Yaakov limping, you see Yaakov schlepping. And then you start to feel bad, you start to wonder, is Yaakov ever going to recover? Says the Shem Yishmuel on page number 1, this week's Parsha. Vateka kaf yerech Yaakov. Yaakov gets injured. And yet in the end, the Malach says to him, Sarshal Esav says to him, V'yomer shalchein, he says, send me off. Right, let me go. So despite his injuries, it seems like Yaakov wins the battle. And he gets a bracha, and he's called Yisrael. Says the Shem Yishmuel, very pashut lesson that we desperately need in our world today. Nira shezeh remez ala osir. This story of Yaakov is the story of Klal Yisrael. Avshiyez man shezara shal Yaakov yeh b'shofel hamatzav ma'od. Even though there's going to come a time in the future where the Jewish people are going to be in a very, very low place. Low in what sense? He says, both in Ruchnias and Gashmias. Shal zeh bal haremez v'teka kav yerech Yaakov. But the Shem Yishmuel is being Merambis through and others from talk out more openly. The Yerech of Yaakov means what? Simna Yadcha Tachas Yerech. The Yerech Yaakov means what? The loins of Yaakov. The Makom Amila. It means what? It means the Zera of Yaakov, the future of Yaakov, the children of Yaakov. Right? The those who come from his Yerech. So Vateka Bekaf Yerech Yaakov means that in the future, Klal Yisrael is going to be hurting. Mikol Makom and Echeshalem Ha'ela Oud Bekocham Liz Gabriel Sarah Shal Esav. But at the end of the day, it was to be chazik himself in the fact that we win the fight. That at the end we win the war. Kamoshe is Gabri Yaakov alav, av achar nekiyas hakaf. Even though Yaakov is injured, but eventually Yaakov goes weiter. And where does he go? Ve'yizrach lo Hashemesh, the pasuk says. The sun shines upon him, and things are good. And Yaakov is shalim, shalim begufo, shalim b'mono. His spirit is shalim. Everything about him is shalim. He's Yaakov Yishtam, he's shalim. Ve'zeh nosein chizik li'ameinu eile. Shematz of Yisrael, Muzar Ma'od, Beruchtias of Agashmias. Al Nisyayish Chas Vashalom, El Nischazik, Bechol Oz, Uvezrasa Yisbarach Shemon Nasa Chayil, Venizgaber Olaf. Rather, we have to do our best not to become depressed, not to be disheartened by everything that we see going on in the world around us, and to just do what we can, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stand by our side, and Hashem will wage battle on our behalf. That's the Pashut lesson, the Pashut but not so Pashut lesson that we learned from Yaakov's fight against Sarah Shal Esav. That a Jew has to keep going, has to go weiter. Now the truth is, if you look in Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Gimel, where the Sefer HaChinuch talks about the mitzvah of not eating Gid HaNasha, the Sefer HaChinuch writes in the Sharshei HaMitzvah, he basically writes this exact idea. That the story of Yaakov is the story of Klal Yisrael. And there's going to be times when we're limping, but eventually Yaakov gets to a healthy place. He recovers. And Klal Yisrael will recover. And we have to, again, be mechazik ourselves along the way, not chas v'shalom to give up hope. If anything, the fact that Sarah Shal Esav gets the better of us once in a while should drive us, should motivate us, should make us want to pick ourselves up and to hit back. He hits us, we hit back. Shem Yishmuel on page 2, in Parshas Vayechi. Why do we sometimes give up when we get hit by the Sarah Shal Esav? Because we're such honest people, right? We don't like to be hypocritical. Which means that if I did an avera, so then I don't have a right to do a mitzvah. That's very gaivadik. That means I'm working for myself. That means if it adds up at the end that I come out a tzaddik, so then it's worth it to stay in it. But for me to, you know, if I'm going to get gehenim in the end because of my avera, so then I might as well just have a good time. So he quotes in Parshas Vayechi, Tafresh Ayin Gimel. He quotes at the top of the third column. He quotes B'Shem the Magid. HaMagid HaKadosh, the Rebbe Rebbeir Zatzal, the Magid of Mezrich. Sha'afilu chas v'shalom ha'isam is damenes lefanav aveir gadola. Lohaya nigra me'odaso davar. He says that even if I were to stumble upon a big aveira, I wouldn't stop serving Hashem. You know why? Ki enenu oved avor atzmo, rak l'Hashem yisbach. Because I don't serve Hashem for myself. I'm an eved who's being told to do things. So now, but it's not worth it at this point because I made some bad investments, so I can't recover, so I might as well just throw in the towel. You're not working for yourself. You work for Hashem. Your avod is to work. I've told you many times from the Torah Savos, Torah Salmos was collected by the author of the Nesivos Shalom, Slonim Rebbe, before he was the Rebbe, a collection of Torahs from earlier Slonim Tzaddikim. It says on page 162 that if a Jew can't do a big Aveira and then walk into the Beis Medrash and sit down and learn afterwards, or go to Daven Mincha with Kavana, he doesn't know the first thing about Chassidus, that's one Nosach, and according to some, the Lashon is, he doesn't know the first thing about Yiddishkeit. Because, what do you mean? I'm not worthy of davening of Mincha B'Kavana because I did this Aveira 10 minutes before. Says who? Hashem says it's time to daven Mincha. And Hashem wants a good Mincha. And you're bringing your own personal negios into it when you decide, no, it's not worth it at this point. So the Magen Avraham said, even if I did a big Aveira, he says, I would still serve Hashem. I wouldn't change my avodah. It doesn't matter if at the end of the day I end up in Gan Eden or I end up in Gehenim. The bottom line is, right now, my job is to serve Hashem. So says the Shem Yishmuel, I'll give you a mashal to express this idea. He says, by the second arrow, the master says you're supposed to do X. What does the servant do? He doesn't do it. He rebelled against the master. And now he's punished by the master. So now what happens? So now the Eved is more chayev to serve the master or less chayev? He's more. Now he's got to re-earn the respect of his master. Because the servant rebelled against the master and got whipped. So now he's putter. Just the opposite. He has to be so much more cautious now. His next move is much more critical because his last move was an act of rebellion. That because of his current position, where his master is not happy with him, a small move in the wrong direction could be even more costly because now the master is watching him more carefully. So when Yaakov Avinu gets injured, when Klal Yisrael is hurting, when Klal Yisrael has made bad choices, or Klal Yisrael is hurting because of the way that our enemy is treating us, right? And we have a setback, that's not a reason to have a further setback. Lehefech. That's a reason to say, whoa, now the fight is intensifying. So I don't become weaker, I don't become less engaged, I become more engaged. I become more focused, and I fight that much stronger. There's an interesting comment of the Sefer Achinoch that Pam used to quote all the time. The mitzvah of Temura. What's the mitzvah of Temura? Or what's the Aveira of Temura, I guess is a better way to say it. In Parshas B'chukosai, right, there's a whole Masechta in Shas. Masechta's Temura. What's it about? If a person designates an animal as a carbon. And then the person decides, you know what? I don't want to give this animal as a carbon. I want to give a different animal as a carbon. So he decides to do Temura. He decides to exchange this animal for another animal. So he'll say, well, it's probably bad if he's exchanging the good animal for a lesser animal. Torah says it doesn't make a difference. Even if he's trading a worse animal for a better animal, still can't do that. You're not allowed to exchange one animal. Once it's been designated as kadosh, you can't exchange it for another animal. First pasuk in Torah, a whole masechta in Shas. What happens if you do it? What happens if I do it? What if I say, zoti lekarbon tmura zo? This should be the carbon in place of the other one. What happens? Does it work? It's like you're not supposed to do it, but b'di'eved, the kedusha transfers from one animal to the other. You know what happens? The Torah tells us that v'haya hu utmurasa yakodesh, that the first one stays kadosh, and the second one also becomes kadosh. Says the Chinuch, and Rav Pam again used to always emphasize this. Rav Pam Zatzal used to always emphasize. Look what happens here. Look what happens here. Yeah, the Yitzhar got the better of you. You did something you're not supposed to do. So what's produced by that bad choice? What's the Torah teaching us through with the message of Temura? It's teaching us when you made a bad choice and you tried to be mezalzel and kachim, you know what happens? You created more kedusha. There's a possibility. It's an amazing musar Temura. That in this moment where you went against the master, when you rebelled against the master, in this moment you created a new chafsa shel kedusha. The potential for more kedusha. Look at the words of the Chinuch. Mishar Shea Mitzvah. He writes in the bottom paragraph. Hashem wants us to treat things of hektish very carefully and very seriously. Jump down a few lines. He says, what happens if a person says, I want this animal to replace that animal? So what happens? It doesn't matter what he says, right? The reality is that both of them become kadosh. We go against his will to exchange one for the other. Ki hu ba b'maisav, and this is the line Rav Pam would emphasize. Ki hu ba b'maisav lafkia kedusha. He's coming to uproot kedusha. V'tiel lehefech shetispashen yoser v'titvos b'kol. But the response is, you think you're going to stop kedusha? That actually creates more kedusha. The Yitzhara comes to fight against you. Yaakov gets injured. That creates the possibility of geula. Good things can come. And we'll talk later in this year. We'll see some of the fruits that come from Jewish suffering. That unique opportunities that we can only come to against the backdrop of something very, very difficult. But again, the response to Yaakov limping, the mushal that the Shem Yishmuel gave us in Parshas Vayechi, when the Eved rebels against the Master, when he gets injured, when there's a setback, it has to be molded more Kedusha. It has to create more Kedusha. It can't be just left to be a loss that leads to a further loss. You have to find a way to turn it around. The same way the Torah automatically imbues this person whose dibur is trying to take away kedush from the animal. He says that animal stays kadosh, and the other animal also becomes kadosh. Very hard when you look at the world and you see what's happening. It's very hard to do this, Levisa, right? Meaning when you're limping and when you're hurting. And when you're scared to check the news in the morning because you don't know what happened in Eretz Yisrael in the few hours that you were sleeping, it's scary. And it's very hard. And it's not so easy for Yaakov to just keep at it and go at the fight. And the truth is that Yaakov Avinu himself looked at us with his Ruach HaKodesh. He looked into the future. And he saw Klal Yisrael. And he saw what a crazy world we're living in. And Yaakov was very depressed by that. Yaakov wasn't quite sure what to make of our world. Even someone as great as Yaakov, our senses are so dulled at this point that we're kind of, you know, in a sick kind of way, we can almost handle it. Right? But Yaakov Avinu looked into the future and saw all of Jewish suffering, and Yaakov said, I can't handle this. The Shem Yishmuel writes on page 4 in Parshas Vayechi, this is a piece from Tafresh Ayin Dalet. We know that Yaakov on his deathbed wants to reveal the Ketz. He wants to present the Geula to his children, to be mechazik them. And all of a sudden what happens? Yishmuel says the same part. All of a sudden, what happens? Bikish legalis is a case. Minista mimenu, right? Nistalka shchina mimenu. All of a sudden, he can't do it. What happened? Says Shem Yishmuel. It's a very painful part. Vinir lefarish. Dikasher istaka b'mara nevuah al pnei kol adoros at bias haMashiach. When Yaakov looked into the future, when Yaakov saw how many Jews are going to be limping before they come to that place called Shalim until Vayizrach lo Hashemesh. When Yaakov looked into the future and he saw the tsaros of Klal Yisrael. Sheyavru al banav at sheyizku lebias haMashiach lo haya yachol lisbol b'tzar banav. Yaakov became terribly depressed, so much so that he could no longer reveal the Ketz. What does it take to have nevuah, to have ruach hakodesh? A person has to be in a good mood. When Yaakov was about to reveal the future, as he's looking into the future, looking to that point, the Mashiach, but along the way he sees all of Jewish suffering, all of a sudden his Ruach HaKodesh is taken away. You know why? Because he can't be sovel the pain of watching all the pogroms and all the Holocausts and all the intifadas, and Yaakov, all of a sudden, his connection to Hashem just blacks out. And he sits there and he's crying. His mamash crying over Klal Yisrael. Ki hu aracham en cheba avos. If anyone of the three avos, the midah of Teferes, of Rachmanus, of Yaakov Avinu, v'nis'atziv al zema od, v'ein ha'shchina shora mitoch atzus. And the shchina, what? Doesn't reside upon a person, doesn't rest upon a person who's in a state of sadness. V'zo'aysa asiba sh'nastalk v'en ha'shchina. And therefore the shchina abandoned him. So it's no one saying that it's easy for us to push ahead when we're limping. Right? But l'maisa Yaakov himself did it. Yaakov himself, he says, Shem Yishmuel says, I found the Zohar Kadosh, says exactly this afterwards. I was very happy that I saw this, that I was mechaving to the Zohar. Right? But Yaakov found a way to keep going. It's not easy. We're not here to say, oh, you're limping, but don't worry, it's going to be fine. It's very hard. And every time you hear something, it's very depressing. And there's a party that wants to say, you know what? This setback leads to another setback. This setback doesn't lead to Geula. But a Jew has to pick himself up, and the basic message of Yaakov fighting the Malach, getting injured, and then winning the battle, that Yisrael, he was victorious over the Malach, is the message of Klal Yisrael. And we have to find a way to pick ourselves up and to try again. And to try again. Chanukah is all about a Jew picking himself up and trying again. Shem Yishmuel writes in Miketz, on the next page, on Chanukah, we know that the Yavanim are compared to a Namer. In Daniel's vision, right, the Yavanim are compared to the different exiles are compared to different animals. And
And Yavan is compared to a namer, to a leopard. What do we know about a namer? Have oz kanamer. Azus, a brazenness. A certain Azus the Kedusha, a holy chutzpah that many of the Sfarim talk about by Chanukah. What's the nature of the namer? What's the characteristic of the leopard? So says the Shem Yishmu. On Chanukah, Nokel Lezakos Lamasha Amru Have Oz Kanamer. Most of the year when we're limping, we feel like I'm hurting. I can't push ahead now. I gotta just sit it out and recover from my injury. Right? I'm not gonna play injured. If it's a championship game, you play when you're injured. You don't have time to recover. It's the Super Bowl, Havza. So you're not going to play? Right? Okay, you're in pain. But you're going to fight through it. And you'll find the way to make it look as if you're not even injured. When you're holding by the ikhlas of the Mashiach, and you're limping, you have to find a way to stay in the game. But where do we draw our strength from? We draw our strength from Chanukah. Chanukah is Havei Oz Kenomer. Look what he says. Ki Achaya Ashlishis, Shei Malchus Yavon, Shinizkaris b'Daniel, the third animal that Daniel saw, corresponding to the third exile, Daniel saw Tsurasa Tsuras Namer. Looked like a leopard. What's the nature of the leopard? The leopard is very brazen. Have oz shebachayos. What does that mean? Alkein kishegavru malchus beis chashmonai. When we were victorious over Yavan, zochu lemidazu bekedusha. We took the chutzpah that the Yavanim had to walk into Beis HaMikdash and trash the place. The chutzpah with which they rejected the Torah, which was clearly a wisdom that was greater than their own, the audacity by which they disregarded our basic principles, when we were victorious over them, by a handful of Jews who had the chutzpah to fight an army much bigger than them, right? And had the chutzpah to expect a miracle from Hashem when they didn't really deserve it, that midah of Azus, the Kedusha, is what we were yorish in that victory, what we inherited in that victory. V'zen nishar ledoros b'chanukah. And therefore, every year on Chanukah, there's a spirit, there's an Azus, the Kedusha, that's brewing inside of us. K'mo midas hanamer. Now look how does a leopard operate? Look what he does. The Azus of the Namer, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, on Parakei, Namer shoked al arehem. The leopard, right, is shoked, it rests, it lies in ambush over the cities. What does that mean? What's the nature of the leopard? The leopard waits for the right moment to attack. The leopard lies and awaits. V'af shaharbe pavim shaked l'rik einenu nimnam l'shkod od. The leopard could sometimes sit in this position waiting and waiting for the right moment, and the right moment doesn't come. So does he stop? Does the number stop? Does he stop waiting? Right? The number is shoked. He sits and he waits because he knows it's going to come. Eventually he's going to get what he's looking for. So too, a Jew comes to Beis Medrash and he says, I'm not matzliach. I walked out, I'm limping. It wasn't a successful day. And again, not matzliach. No, you keep coming back? You'd be stupid to come back. Unless what? Unless you have a mitzvah of azus. Unless you say, I'm going to find something here. There has to be something here. That eventually Yaakov's going to recover. Whatever's holding me back from achieving what I'm supposed to achieve, it's going to get healed. It's going to get fixed. Right? A person grows not tired and not weary. How many times am I going to sit here waiting for something to happen? The leopard will lie there all day waiting for the right moment. Right? How many times did I pick myself up? To be shocked like the namer. The number who puts in, right? Shked da satora. Diligence. Like it says in Mishlei, Lishkod al dal sosai yom yom. To come and to put in the time day in and day out. Lishmor mezuzos pisachai. To sit by the mezuzah. To be sitting by the entrance of the Beis Medrash. Lios rovets al mezuzas apesach. Afshadai na'ul. To sit by the door when it's still locked, saying, I know it's going to open at some point, and I want to be here to walk right in. I want to seize the opportunity. I'm ready. And that's what it says in Kohelet. Shlach lachmcha pnei amayim. Throw your bread on the water. You'll see good things will come from it. Kibrov hayam timtzeanu. Throw your bread on the water. The bread's going to get soggy. The bread's going to get washed away. What good could possibly come from that? Don't think that the avoda is a waste. Like lechem al pnei amayim. Rather, Berov Hayom Shetishkod Acharkach Timsegamis Rishonos. You realize that all those lost days, so to speak, all of the limping actually made you stronger. All the perceived setbacks were actually a simon of something good. A yid has to know how to stay in the fight. That's the avoda. That's mamash the avoda these days. To just keep fighting. To say, Rabbono Sholem, I don't know where the end is, and I'm really hurting, but I'm going to keep going. And Yaakov Yaakov's crying for us. Yaakov's losing Ruach HaKodesh over us. Because he said, this is so messed up. This is crazy already. And yet, we have to find a way that every setback, a davar shebe kedusha. The Klal Yisrael does it all the time. This unbelievable wedding in Eretz Yisrael, this girl whose father and brother were killed, they turned it into Klal Yisrael. That's tmura. That's taking a murderous act by Rishayim and turning it into being molded a davar shebe kedusha. That any time, we don't just sit and mourn and be depressed over the fact that Rachmana litzlan, Jews are being killed. We take that tzara and we immediately turn it around. Tmura. It has to be molded kedusha. It can't be that the limping doesn't lead to something geulidic. Whether it's a small geula or the big geula. Yeah, Reb Shim, what do you want to say?
So, Reb Weinberg was talking about that you have to see with like what the different times is.
You got to look beyond. Right.
Rather than being seen with the eyes of Yavan after you just said.
Correct. The eyes of Yavan, the realistic eye of Yavan, when Yaakov's fighting a malach and the malach badly injures him, right? That's the point where Yaakov says, okay, I surrender, I give up. And that's when Yaakov started fighting. That's when Yaakov stepped up the game. When the fight intensifies, you don't run the other way. You don't give up, you don't surrender. You take pride in the fight. Klal Yisrael takes pride in the fight. If you're fighting, that's a sign you're still alive. There's a great var from the Yismach Yisrael. The Chevron knows Micah Gordon. This is one of Micah Gordon's favorite vars. This is Yismach Yisrael. Yismach Yisrael says, he's explaining the pasuk and telling, you know the pasuk, right? Is the Rebbe of Alexander. Yeah. The Rebbe of Alexander says, look by the second arrow. Sha'al yisya'i sha'od nimber osa ki yitzahara nil chamimo. Lu, Sarshal Eitzav meets up with you. Yeah? The United Nations decide to pick on Klal Yisrael, to pick on Eretz Yisrael, to pick on Jews all around the world. Yeah, the world is teaming up against us. So now what do I feel? I feel more depressed or I feel inspired? I see a setback or I see an opportunity? So look what he says here. When the Yitzhar starts up with you, Adrabah, that's a good thing. Don't be depressed. Don't be misyayish. Rak Adrabah, Sheyir mizeki adayin lo avda tikvaso. Right? You should realize, if he's still starting up with you, that means what? You're still someone to contend with. You're still a contender. Ki od bo kusta dechiyusa anita seloki. If the world is starting up with us, is trying to fight against us, it means they know we're still something. That we're still a very significant something. That the whole world is interested in starting up with us. Ki imhayu b'chinas meis b'kedusha. Because if we're spiritually completely annihilated, if we're no longer, malo lo chomimo, uvemeisim chafshi. If we're dead, then the Yetzer Hara doesn't bother us. The fact that the world is bothering us like never before, right, and it's only getting worse, seemingly, and the limping is getting stronger, is all an indication that what? That we are the ones to contend with. That we're the center stage. That we're the greatest threat to the world. Right? Why? Because we like to learn Torah, and because we like to do nice things, and we don't want to hurt anyone. But okay, that's very threatening to the world. Yeah? So he says, that's what it means, the pasuk says, but the last arrow, third arrow. That's what the pasuk means. Im takum alai milchama, bizos anivoteach. Chaver, look at this pshat. It's a beautiful pshat. What's the lomar? Im tachara alai machara gadol shel sam. If the Yetzer Hara starts up with you, if the Yetzer Hara is fighting you, and you're thinking, why on earth are you picking on me? Leave me alone already. Haven't you had enough fun with me? Right? Bizos anivoteach. What's the bizos? The very fact that he's starting up with you, ani boteach. I know that what? I know that I'm a contender. That I'm someone to reckon with. Hainu shabem ochama azos. The fact that he starts up with me, ani boteach. I take strength in the fact that he wants to fight with me. Because he sees me as a significant person. Ki roa ani ki chai anochi od bechiyus tekedusha. That means, even if I think, I'm done. That's not true. If he's still coming back, that means he's still looking for something. That means you still have something that he's trying to take away from you. Just like in a war. When the enemy's dead, you don't keep shooting at him. When the enemy's dead on the ground, as long as they're still firing arrows at you, that's an indication that what? That you're still a threat. That you're still alive. That the war is still going on. The fact that it's still that the enemy is still attacking. So the fact that the Yetzer Hara is starting up with you, the fact that the world is contending with you, in takumulai milchama, the very fact that they're fighting you, bizos anivoteach, I take strength in that, and I'm a chazik myself. It's an opportunity. Yaakov's limping, but it's an opportunity to recognize the milchamos. I want to respond somewhat subtly and somewhat openly to a hot topic that people have been talking about. And you'll understand right away what I'm referring to. But if you look in the writings of Rav Shalom Shadron, in the Leiv Shalom on Bereshis, he has a piece on Chanukah. And he asks a very simple question. In the Al Anisim, one of the phrases that we use is we say, thank you Hashem, right? Al Anisim, makes sense. Al Niflos, makes sense. Al Milchamos, thank you Hashem for the wars. Why am I thanking Hashem for the wars? It'd be better if there were no wars, no? Al Anisim, Al Porkon, right? The wondrous things, the good things, the revelations, the wonder, Gevaldik. Al Milchamos, thank you for the battles. What does that mean? So Shalom Shadron quotes in the bottom paragraph on page 7, the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says, commenting on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Shadai k'migdalos, Eilu tamidei chachamim. The Talmid Chacham is like a migdal. Upartzu chomas migdalai. Think about the Moser. Partzu chomos migdalai. Yivarim nikbetsu alai. Upartzu chomos migdalai. They were pogame in the tamidei chachamim. What does it mean? Shadai k'migdalos eilu tamidei chachamim. Why is a Talmid Chacham like a migdal, like a tower, like a watchtower? So says Rav Shalom Shadron. Because very often, if you're on the ground, you can't see the enemy coming. If you're up in the watchtower, you have a certain range of vision of not only, well, right now there's not a problem, you're able to see into the future and say, hold on a second, what's this going to lead to? What's this going to cause? Right? Not right now, but right now it makes sense. But you have to have a certain broad vision to be able to see beyond the immediate, you know, need of a person. And say, how does this shape the future of Klal Yisrael if we make certain, you know, certain changes or certain moves? So look what he writes here. He says, "Talmidei Chacham heim roim be'ineim al yedei torasam es hasakana shebishinuyim akali." They recognize that sometimes a small change has massive, right, reverberates through the years, through history, and it comes out as a very significant change, as a critical change. Very dom heim lo'omid al amigdal. So therefore, the Talmid Chacham is like the man who stands in the watchtower. V'roa sha'oyev ba lemerachok. And he recognizes the enemy, who's quite far away. On the ground, everyone's calm. No one realizes that there's anything to be worried about. But the man in the watchtower recognizes there's an enemy approaching at a distance. The Talmid Chacham, the watchtower, says, I see a problem brewing here in the distance. And the Hamonam, the typical regular soldier standing on the ground, thinks everything's quiet, everything's calm. He says, there's no war to fight right now. There's no one here. There's no enemy to fight against. And therefore, in such a situation, when the soldiers don't even think that there's something to fight about, you need not only that those small group of people who fight will actually win, but you need what? You need people to just know that there's something to even fight about here. When we say Ala Milchamos, Rosh Hashanah Shadron says, the Chiddush was, we're thanking Hashem, thank you Hashem for allowing a couple of Jews to have the common sense to know that Yavon was a threat. Because there were a lot of Jews who didn't even think Yavon was a threat. They didn't even think there was a Muhammad here. The Yavonim are good guys. They have a lot of nice things to offer. Right? And therefore the Chiddush of Ala Milchamos, he says, three lines from the end, that the Chashmonaim should even know that there's something to fight about here. That there's a potential problem here. Most people said, it's fine. The Chum looked into the distance and said, you know what Yavon's going to do to Klal Yisrael? You know what they're going to do to Torah? Turn the page. Only then, once you realize there's something to fight about, then I have to ask for a further miracle. Can these weaklings, can these handful of Talmidei Chachamim take on the world? And the answer is yes. In the end, they can. But that's a miracle. The fact that Hashem put into the hearts of a few Jews maintain their own moral clarity to know that there's something to fight about here. This is a problem. To continue to fight, to continue to recognize Bezos ani voteach. The fact that this is something worth fighting over. When a lot of people think it's not a big deal, what difference does it make? Shem Yishmuel writes in Parshas Vayigash, we mentioned earlier in the week that one of the dangers of Yavon is that Yavon likes to operate within Teva. Yavon likes to say there's a natural order of things, and there's just a way that things are, and there's a certain negativity that comes with Yavon's natural cycle of life. Right? We pointed out that Galgal is Gematria Yavon, 66. Because Yavon's into the regular rotations of the of the outer spheres, right, of the heavens. Hashem put the world into motion, and nature continues to operate on its own, so to speak. But there's also a very positive message that one can gain from this circle, from this cycle, right, from this revolution of round and round. And you see that when Yosef sends for his father, Yaakov, what does he send him to tell him that I'm still doing okay, even here in Mitzrayim? He sends him wagons. Bayaris ha'agalos, asher shalach Yosef, laseis oso. Says the Shem Yishmael on page 9, Parshas Vayigash. When Yosef sends these wagons, yeah, to his father, why doesn't the Torah emphasize that he's bringing his father down to Mitzrayim? Whenever we talk about going from Eretz Yisrael anywhere, the Torah seems to say you're going down. And here it says, laseis oso. Laseis oso is almost a lashon of lifting his father up. What's going on here? L'chor yish l'daktik. Like it says so many other times. So he says, Nira, you know what the message of the agalos is? Remez yesh medavar. Think about a wagon wheel. This is a chush of insight. Look what he says. Think about a wheel. Ki ofanea agala hasovavim. When the wheels of the wagon spin, what does that teach us? The eagle morim shezesh lamala bitachlis karega yored lamata. What happens when you hit the highest point of the wagon wheel? Right? Your next step is down. And if you hit the lowest point of the wagon wheel, if you're at the bottom of the wheel, so to speak, right? Your next, once you hit rock bottom, your next move is up. So when Yaakov sees that Yosef is sending him wagons, you have to understand, in ancient society, right, with the creation of a wheel, itself was a chiddush. There's nothing round in the natural world, the Talmud Yerushalmi says. And that's confirmed by science as well. That the concept of the creation of the wheel, right? There's almost nothing in the natural world that's round and that operates like a wheel. I went online, I was reading an article recently to look into this. There's nothing that operates like a wheel. It's an entirely human creation, the concept of a wheel. But what's the message of the wheel? The message of the wheel is what? Who remez, where it's underlined. Who remez la'adam sha'afilu matzavo shebetachas hayirid da'ayis yaish. When a Jew is rock bottom, when he's at the bottom of the wheel, don't give up. You know why? Because you know what your next step is? Up. Your next move is up. Adraba yitein oliba ulai zoi ha'es ha'achrona shal yirida. You're limping like never before. You think, this is it. This is when I give up. No, bezos ani voteach. The enemy's still fighting you, so where can I possibly go from here? You know where you can go? Up. The bottom of the wheel goes up. U'mi'ata maschil ha'aliyah. A person goes, right, from shol tachtis. He rises up to a very lofty place. V'chein kishuhu b'tachlis ha'aliyah. And the same thing is true in the reverse. The one who's so strong, who's so on top, seems to hold the highest position. You know where his next move is? Down. As the wagon wheel reaches its peak, it starts to descend. Yitein alibo ulai yigia letachlis ha'aliyah umiata yaschil aredes ki agalgal hu hachozer. Because the cycle goes round and round. And no one should be overly confident and no one should be overly depressed. So when Yaakov sees that Yosef sends him a wagon wheel, and he looks at this wagon wheel, he says, what was he saying to him? La se so so, to lift him up. He's saying to Yaakov, what? Yeah, it looks like this is a Yerida coming to Mitzrayim. But Mitzrayim is going to be Yorish, tremendous things. We're going to come out of here with what? With tremendous gifts. We're going to come from here, we're going to stand by Kabbalah Satorah. And we couldn't get to Kabbalah Satorah without Mitzrayim. And if you're worried that what? If you're worried, Yaakov, you're worried that maybe my position of power as a great leader in Mitzrayim has gone to my head, don't worry. I know that the wagon wheel, when it gets to the top, it could go down very quickly. I've maintained my humility. As Rashi says about Yosef at Tzadik, who Yosef? He's the same Yosef when he's the shepherd, and he's the same Yosef when he's working in Mitzrayim. A certain sense of equilibrium, a certain healthy confidence, without being too cocky, not being too depressed when things are bad, to be able to realize that things go weiter, that things go around, that the agala, right, that the wagon wheel spins. So why does Hashem wait so long for it to spin? No, when's it going to go up already? Have we got to the bottom of the wagon wheel yet? What's the pshat? When's it going to go up already? Why is Hashem schlepping us through this? Because the answer is, like we spoke earlier, yesterday, right? We spoke about Lufum Tzara Agra. And the greatest reward can only come after the greatest difficulties. And we have to really go to the bottom of the wagon wheel in order to have the aliyah that we want to have. when Sarah finally has a child, and she says, I want to name this child Yitzchak, because Tzchok Asali Elokim. Tzchok Asali Elokim. Says Kedushas Levi on page 10. What does it mean, Tzchok Asali Elokim? Why did Hashem wait so long? He's torturing poor Sarah. She's a nice woman. A big tzaddikas. A righteous person. Why did Hashem wait and torture poor Sarah? Isn't it enough already? Like normal women who give birth in their younger years. He wanted Sarah to suffer. Why? He wanted Yaakov to limp a little bit more. Why? Because for every bit of pain, it's going to be that much more of a simcha. And right now, when you're in the pain, you say it's not worth it, but it is worth it. In the end, it is worth it. Ki adavar shaba b'nakel b'lishum tsar ein ba simcha. Says Kedushas Levi, because something that comes too easily, if there's no milchama, then there's nothing to be boteach about, nothing to be excited about. If it's difficult, then it's great. And therefore, Sarah looks at her own situation and says what? Tzchok asali elokim. Elokim midas adin. That the midas adin that Hashem operated towards me with created a tzchok, created a great sense of joy, a great simcha. Perish elokim b'chinas din shemonu mimani pri-bitni ad atas man rav, by denying me a child for all these years, asali tzchok v'simcha. Sarah says, I can laugh like never before. I can have such a joy that if I would have had a child when I was 21 years old, it never would have been the same. To be an old woman and to have this child, tzchok asali elokim, all the elokim in my life became the source of tzchok, became a source of joy and simcha. And Kedushas Levi goes on, he says, it's always this way. Odecha ki ani sani, vatihili lishua, evin masu abanim, haisa l'rosh pina. Right? The more trampled you are, the more elevated you're able to be. Klai Yisrael is compared to dirt, and Klai Yisrael is compared to stars. The more we're beat up, the more we're knocked down, the more we can be yorish. And that's why we had to go into the greatest hell on planet Earth, a place called Mitzrayim, in order to get the Torah. The Jewish people went into Mitzrayim. They descended to the 49th level of Tumah. And then they come out of Mitzrayim, and what do they get? What do they take with them? They get the Torah. That's a good trade. Now, B'shas Maisa, it wasn't a pleasant time for Klal Yisrael. Those 210 years of Mitzrayim were not pleasant at all. But in the only way to get to Torah, the Fum Tzar Agar, there's certain things you can only get through difficulty. And a person has to have confidence to hold on. So Asemis writes on page 11 in Parsha Shmos, Tafresh Mem Beis, the bottom line of the rightmost column, B'Medrash. The Medrash says, She'ein yecholim lahasig haTorah rak al yedei Yisurim. Torah, we know, is only acquired through Yisurim. The Gemara in Brachos says this as well. So look what happens. Moshe Rabbeinu sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a burning fire. V'zeh shekasuv b'labas eish mito. As Hashem is introducing Moshe Rabbeinu to the suffering of Klal Yisrael, He's simultaneously introducing him to what's going to come out, what we're going to benefit, what we're going to take away from all of this. Jump down to where the Sfas Emes, the line that begins with the word Eretz. V'teikav k'sheyotzu min ha-galus, yishtanu l'ma'al yusa v'yisromu v'yiskaim v'yitzlar Sinai. When it's time for the wagon wheel to spin, Chevra, it spins very quickly. When Klal Yisrael need to get out of its for 210 years, they said, what's going on here? Where's God? When Hashem's ready to take them out, very quickly we go out. He says, in a second, the one at the top of the wagon wheel spins, and the top is on the bottom, and the bottom is on the top. Kamo Kane says to Hashem, where it's underlined. Look at his words, beautiful. The only way to get to Torah is through Galus. The only way to get to Geula is through Galus. Ukamo Kane yesh lanu lekavos begalus hamar hazeh. Shelo lios noish chas v'shalom beros shifloseinu milabar milagav. This is not Sfas Emes language. This is Shem Yishmuel language. Sfas Emes doesn't usually write openly like this, telling you, don't become despondent when you see that internally and externally. Actually, externally and internally, right? Things aren't good. She'ein muchanim l'shum madrega ketana. Shom madrega savoseinu. It's just yirida after yirida after yirida sadoros. How's it going to turn around? When's the wagon wheel going to spin? Can it still spin? Right? A person might say, Eich nuchel lavod v'beis hamikdash liros p'nei Hashem sholosh pam b'shana. We're going to be the ones to come to beis hamikdash. It's just not going to be. Kishi kishi.
Ki kishiyitein Hashem Yisbarach v'yigalenu Yisora ha'pnimiyas sheyesh banu lios nehafachim kerega la'alos l'madregos el yonos kevashanam akadmonios Hashem Yisbarach yemar gulasenu b'meher b'yaminu amin. Amazing l'shonos from Sfasemis. But again, you can only get the Torah, there can only be galus and giloy, the Svarim say. Sfasemis has it a few times in Parsha Shmos. That there's a certain giloy of Torah that can only come from a galus. There's certain revelations that can only come about through a destruction of Torah. A threat to Torah creates a new reality of Torah. Take, for example, turn to page 13. Jump ahead for a moment. I gave you a long piece from the third mimer of the Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah, where he says, Shichachas Torah, that's what the Yavanim were out to do, right? What did they cause? They tried to do Tmura, they tried to exchange Torah for Greek wisdom, for Greek philosophy. What did they actually create in the end? They created more Torah. They created more Torah. They created another Yom Tov. And they created a lot more Torah. Because when does Machlokas begin? Chazal say that the period of Machlokas in Torah begins with Yavan. Machlokas is bad for Torah, no? Shichas the Torah. People can't remember clearly what the real tradition is. Now they're debating it and they're arguing over it. Yeah? But says Rav Huttner, that's a good thing. That means there's more people talking about Torah, more people grappling with Torah. So sometimes, says Rav Huttner, what looks like it's going to be the destruction of Torah becomes what? The source of the increase of Torah. He writes on page 13, the end of Maimer Gimel, V'chozrim anu b'zeh l'aschalas hadvar. Mitzilas shal machlokes b'divrei Torah. Ha'olechas v'nimsheches ad yameinu. Eile nolda amnam b'choshech yavan. Machlokes. A base medrash that's pulsating with the word of Hashem. People screaming at each other, fighting over Gemara. Fighting over a sugya, right? That energy, that chiyus in Torah came about because what? Because Yavan tried to destroy Torah. Out of the choshech of Yavan emerged a shichacha that created machlokas. But that's the chiyus. That's mechamta shel Torah. That's the most beautiful expression of Torah. Mikol makom ein mitzias zu shir begalas Yavan. Adraba porkon hachanaka al yedei based in shachashmonav who nitzachon al choshech Yavan al yedei hotzas haor mitoch choshech atzom. The victory over Yavan is the fact that what? That out of their desire to erase Torah, we created Torah. Yagdil Torah v'yadir al yedei shechachas haTorah. Bitula, Chazal of a statement, bitula sometimes is kiyuma. That the bitul Torah is the greatest kiyum of Torah. The fact that Yavan wanted to take away Torah from us taught us that Torah is chashiv. The fact that the Jews got lazy in the Beis HaMikdash and Hashem almost took away the Beis HaMikdash from us helped us to reappreciate the Beis HaMikdash. And again, that's how it always is. Be'od shema palasan shel bavel and maddai, when we defeated other enemies, we got rid of something negative and that was the end of the story. Yavan comes with a great Yerusha. The Yerusha of Yavan. The apparent setback of Yavan actually creates a new energy, a new connection to Torah. That he says, Nu chidushei Torah, and pilpula Torah, and mochamta shel Torah. All of that emerges from the attempt of Yavan to destroy the Torah. So, chevra, I want to just be Messiah. I want to just be Messiah. To really be mechazik ourselves. Going back really to where we started. That first piece of Shem Yishmuel. That Yaakov is limping, but Yaakov also is going to make it. And a person cannot be depressed. In the end, Yaakov wins. He sends away the Malach, as the Malach says, you win, I surrender. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And we have to try to stop and think about it on a daily basis. It's an amazing thing that we're sitting here right now learning Torah. It's a crazy thing. Just like, scan through Jewish history. It's crazy that we're sitting in Washington Heights, New York right now, right? Learning Torah from tzaddikim who lived over the last who knows how many hundreds of years. That's a crazy thing. It doesn't make sense that it should be here. And yet, it's the courage of those people, al nuchamos, bezos anivoteach, who say, we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that we take those last steps towards the geula. It's not a chiddush that Hashem is still around. It's a chiddush that any one of us is still in this room right now learning Torah. It's a chiddush. You have to appreciate that chiddush. And that chiddush only came about because of the threat that we face throughout our history. On page 14, Rav Meir Premishlaner has a beautiful vart. Rav Reuven Margolius was malakeh some Torahs from Rav Meir Premishlaner in a little volume called Marganisa de Rebbe Meir, and he explains the pasuk in Tehillim, where we basically say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that you exist is not a chiddush, but the fact that I exist is a chiddush. And Hashem, you need to know that. You need to be mechabed me that I'm here, and I'm still learning your Torah. Look what he says. Says the Mayor Premishlaner. What's the pshat in these two psukim? Hashem, you are forever, and you will never be extinct. And b'nei avadecha yishkonu v'zarim lefanecha yikon. And the children, your children are also out here. What's the connection between these two? Says Rav Meir, shekavad is the cause of kachi. V'atahu, hainu, masha'atahu rishon, v'atu achron, v'atah Hashem, and you're never changing, you're always here. Ze'inu chidish kol kach. Ki ze'o machwa sha'atah chai, v'kaim lo'olam. V'atu shno secha lo yitamu. Hashem, you're endless. You never die. You can't die. So therefore, it's not a chidish that you're still around. But I can die. And some Jews did die. And some Jews became Messiavnim. And some Jews didn't engage in the fight. And some Jews, you know, sat off on the sidelines when they were hurting and limping. And they didn't find a way to come to the Shemesh at the other side of that mountain, so to speak. And they didn't win the battle against Sarashal Esau. The fact that I'm still trying, Hashem, is a chiddush. Aval chiddush who? Al Amcha Yisrael. Asher b'nei avadecha yishkonu, perish. B'nei Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, shochnei ofer. That the children of those who are shochnei ofer, the avos who are no longer with us, v'yemei shenos avrak shivim shana, the fact that every one of us is going to die one day, that we do not live forever, dor olech v'dor ba, which means I have a short period of time to make some choices. I don't have eternity to work it out like you do, Hashem. I have a short period of time to do my best. The fact that I'm still here and still trying to serve you, Hashem, that's a big deal. The fact that the Jewish people, like one little shepsula among the nations of the world, are trying to consume us. Think about all these great nations who no longer exist. These great empires that no longer exist. And yet somehow, against all odds, we're still here. And we're still struggling. And we're still fighting. And we might be limping. We might be hurting. And Yaakov might be looking into the future and he's crying over us. But l'maisa, we're here and we're still doing it. Lo kein b'nei kel chai. Yesh lehem shem v'she'eres la'olam. We're here, and we're not going anywhere. And we are guaranteed to win this battle. There's an amazing story that's told in many different places. Rav Pinkus brings it in his volume on Hanukkah. He says the Maskilim in Brisk once decided to put on a play. They wanted to put on a play what a Jewish army would look like. Yeah? They couldn't exactly picture Eretz Yisrael with its, you know, strong idea of soldiers. Right? They were picturing what? They were picturing a Jewish army of Bnei Yeshiva. You know, Bachrim. Yeah? So they put on this whole play, the Maskilim put on this whole play in Brisk to make fun of what a Jewish army would look like. So what happens? Right, everyone gathers together and all the soldiers are wearing talis and tefillin. Right, no one has guns, no one has uniforms. And then the head of the army gets up, like the Torah says, and it says, Mia ish shabana bayis chadash, you can go home. So a couple people leave. And then they say, and anyone who planted a vineyard, you're allowed to leave. And they leave. And then it says, and anyone who has averas, you're allowed to leave. You got married, you're allowed to leave. At the end of the day, who's left? Who's left? How many soldiers are left by the time they've been mavarer all the soldiers? Says Rav Pinkus, tells the story, four lines from the bottom on page 15. In the end, by the time they went through all the preconditions to be a soldier, yeah, who's left? You have these two old Jews, right, as being acted out by the Maskilim. The Chavetz Chaim and Rav Chaim Brisker. Yeah, that was the play. The Hemshecha Tzaga. That Rav Chaim was mechabed the Chavetz Chaim. You go first to war because you're a Kohen. You lead the way. Okay, they had a whole shtick making fun of the from Jews. Yeah. So they came to Rav Chaim Brisker, and they told him. They said, you know, look what they're doing. They're poking fun. They're poking fun at authentic people, like good Jewish people. Right? Listen to what Rav Chaim Brisker said. Chaver, this is so chazak. Rav Chaim Brisker said the bottom line of page 15. I gave it to you so you can keep it. You can do something with it. Hang it up on your wall. I don't know. Hakol emes v'yatzin. Rav Chaim Brisker said, you're right. L'maisa, after all of the conditions of who can go to the battle, you're right. It would be just me and the Chavetz Chaim. Ulam, however, the Maskilim forgot to put on the last part of the play. Shachos the Maskilim lahatzig. Turn the page. Bifnei anshei emes sofa shal osa tzaga. They forgot to put on the end of the performance. What's the end of the performance? That I went to war with the Chavetz Chaim and we won. That's the end of the story. That we won. Against all odds, we won. You can laugh all you want, but we're going to win.
Tislach liyom achron. Sarah says, "Schok asali elokim," that every bit of pain is going to become a source of tremendous joy, of tremendous celebration. To find a way to believe that there's still something worth fighting for. And it's not for fallen. It's not worth throwing in the towel and giving up. Klal Yisrael are guaranteed to win. As individuals, we're not guaranteed. That's what Rav Meir from Mishlana was saying. The chiddush is, if I'm still here, and I'm still signing up to be a soldier, that's a chiddush. That's a chiddush. But Klal Yisrael Bigadol are guaranteed to win. Rav Yisachar Shlomo Teichtal, who died at the end of the Shoah, at the hands of the Nazis, the author of the Eim HaBadim Smecha. We have his writings on Chumash and on Moadim as well. So in the Mishnah Sachir, on the second to last page, in his writings on Chanukah, he says a beautiful thing. He says, we know that the Avadim said, Kispu al-Karen ashur, she'ein lechem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. Right on the horn of an ox, that you don't have a connection to a Kaddish Baruch. So he quotes from Rav Shaul Brach, explaining a pasuk in Tehillim, on the right-hand column. Pasuk says, Baruch Hashem elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ada olam. Hashem is Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ada olam. What's the problem? The problem is the Medrash says that Hashem doesn't attach his name to any person when they're still alive. Because he's worried that maybe what? Maybe they're not gonna live up to it. Right? The Chiddush of the Torah is that when the Hashem refers to himself as the God of Yitzchak, when Yitzchak's still alive, so we work it out that Yitzchak is as good as dead because he's blind. And Asuma is Chashav Kames. But the Klal is Hashem does not attach his name to any living person because, as the Gemara tells the story, he could be a Kohen Gadol for 80 years, Meshamish Bekohuna Gadol, and then go off the Derech. Hashem doesn't invest in anyone until it's over, until you make it to the end. Hashem's not confident you're going to make it to the end. So says Rav Shaul Brach, it's quoted here by the Mishnah Sachir. So how does the pasuk say Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam va'ada olam? How does Hashem call himself Elokei Yisrael, the God of the Jewish people? Who says the Jewish people are going to make it? Hashem doesn't usually attach his name to any person when that person is still in the throes of battle. So he says where it's underlined, El avadai dimizeh raya brura delechlal Yisrael ein bechira. We know the end of the story. Klal Yisrael is guaranteed to win. As a yachid, you have to decide if you're going to be on the winning team. If you're going to fight it out till the end. But as far as Klal Yisrael, Hashem's invested in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael's still going. How do you know? Maybe some other nation will overthrow them. Maybe some of these Rasham will win. And Klal Yisrael will be erased once and for all. No, it's not true. Hashem says, I can attach my name to them. Why? Because they're guaranteed to make it. Habachira hu dafka liyachid v'lo l'tzivur. Every yachid has to decide if he wants to be one of Hashem's soldiers. But the Tzibur is going to win. The Tzibur is guaranteed to win. V'im Kain, he says, the bottom two lines, Shaper Yichid Shmo Aleim Ki Batuachu Aleim. Hashem is guaranteed, Hashem is confident, 100% confident in Klal Yisrael's ability to win. It's just a question if we want to be fighters. If we're going to be, right, K'migdalos, part two Chomos Migdalayim, am I going to be a big person who's able to look into the distance, to have like Shimon was saying, the Mashbi was telling us, to have the Divrei Chaim's perspective of being able to look beyond my own feet and be able to see in the distance, to be able to see that it's going to be good in the end, and to have the courage to keep fighting. I want to end with the words of my favorite Chassidus Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. In the reflections of the Rav, by Avram Bezdin, based on essays from the Rav, he has a beautiful thing here. He says, when a candidate for conversion appears before a Beit Din, a religious court, and declares his intention to join the Jewish fold, he is asked two questions. What motivates you? Do you not realize that we are persecuted people, subject to oppression and hatred? Do you feel that your desire is reasonable or worthwhile? Right? In other words, why on earth do you want to become a Jew? Why would you want to join the people who've been most hated, most rejected, most despised by the entire world for the longest period of time? And what is the candidate supposed to respond? What is this person who's seeking conversion to become a Yid? What does he say? The candidate responds, in effect, Afal Pichain. Despite these considerations, I'm determined to convert. I don't care that it doesn't make sense. I don't care that the odds are against me. I know that Hashem has attached his name to Klal Yisrael. And if it means the Chavetz Chaim and Reb Chaim Brisker being those two Jews who march till the end, but Klal Yisrael, the name of Yisrael, will march till the end. Afal Pichin, despite these considerations, I'm determined to convert. This response is similar to the daily affirmation of faith of all Jews who say in their morning prayers, V'afal Pishi Yisvameya Imkol Zeachakalo. Imkol Zeachakalo, right, means I am frustrated, and I am limping, and I am tired,
And Yaakov Avinu is again, can't be sovel, was the lashon of the Shem Yishmael. And we're all waiting, when's the wagon wheel going to spin already? And yet, af al pi, right? The same way that this convert, so to speak, is saying, af al pi chin. We're also saying, af al pi, shismameya, im kol zeh achakalo. I'll nevertheless persist in believing in their imminent realization. So Mirza Shep, as we come to Hanukkah, think about Misarta Giborim Biyad Chalashim. Biyad Chalashim. It's a mamish miracle that these weak handful of Jews, a small number of Jews, right, Rabim Biyad Ma'atim, and Giborim Biyad Chalashim, we're mamish, we're weaklings, we're hurting, we're broken, the world hates us. Afal Pichin, Afal Pichin. If Chaim Brisker said, don't forget the end of the story, don't forget the end. The end is that I went to war with the Chofetz Chaim, we won. And we won. V'tislach liyom achru. Right? The schok asal yelokim. That all the hardship leads to something very purposeful and very meaningful. And Amir Tashem, we should be zochet to see it. B'karav b'yamin.